Step into the wealth elevator and join our 12,000 plus member community who have passively invested over $200 million to acquire over $2.1 billion in commercial real estate. Sign up by going to thewealthelevator.com/club, and here we go.
Landlords will still be permitted to evict tenants in certain cases, such as instances which the tenant has destroyed property or poses a threat to health or safety of neighbors.
This is a story about a dude named Lane. He moved to the mainland and bought one place to stay. And then one day he went and tried to rent them out. And then he became one real investor man.
All right, let's get started here. So this is the September 2020 monthly market update. We go over the latest headlines and some findings that I go over every month. You can find us at simplepassivecashflow.com/investor letter. Free giveaway for you guys is we're giving away the e-course for trade lines. If you guys submit your lucky number, which is 0 to 99, to me at lane@simplepassivecashflow.com before September 15th, I'll be making that giveaway on that day. I'll let the lucky winners know. And this trade line course, if you guys haven't heard of it, trade line is a great way that I made 10 grand in 2019, on pace to do that again this year. But I use my existing credit lines, put people on as authorized users and charge them for it, and pick up some nice passive cash flow. It's a great way for non-accredited investors and accredited investors to play a little bit of small ball so they can save up money quicker to put on down payment or syndication deals. If you haven't met me before, my name is Lane Kawoka. I put together the Simple Passive Cashflow podcast. Join our community online on Facebook, and check out our podcasts on Spotify, YouTube, Google Play, iHeart, Stitcher, and iTunes. So a few teaching points I want to start off with this month. We had Russell Bray, who is one half of the Real Estate Guys, a mentor to myself. A great podcast. We aired the first half of the podcast this past month, and we talked about the repo market. If you haven't heard about the repo market, it still confuses me personally. You guys can check that out. And sort of the conspiracy theory that's out there is that there was some financial trouble that the country was going through, and COVID is a convenient cover-up story to put in a whole bunch of stimulus money to put out the fire. Whether it's true or not, the fact remains that there is a whole lot of money being pumped into the system. And to me, the way you play it is you buy assets, and when inflation comes, you are the beneficiary. It's the people that are saving money in the bank account, not doing anything, are going to be the losers in the future. The next teaching point I wanted to go over was, I saw this article by MarketWatch. They said that the new savings target is a modest 8 million. This has been going up. I remember when it was like $2 million, and then it was $4 million, and I guess now it's $8 million. And I don't know where they get this stuff. If you can grow your money with cash flow in hard assets, I don't think you need to grow your money to be, you know, too much. Of course, conventional retirement thinking is this idea of the accumulation theory, where you need to build up a certain amount, where they're saying it's $8 million here, which is a lot of money. And what they say is you have to accumulate to this amount so you can withdraw at it at a certain rate, say 3 or 4% a year, and live off your dying days. And which here at Simple Passive Cashflow, we actually think the complete opposite, because we are trying to create streams of income today so that that will further accelerate our passive cash flow and our ability to buy more assets. But at the end of the day, that's the end game, right? Streams of cash flow. And this is the last teaching point I want to bring up before we get into the news for the month. I check the news. I try not to check it too much on a daily basis, but this article came up one day, and I just thought it was a really bad article. This sort of happened in the middle of the month as stocks were rebounding. Stock market news, S&P 500, Nasdaq hit record highs as COVID-19 vaccine treatments and hopes rise. And let me just kind of highlight here, like, just because the stock market is up and because of all the government stimulus and everything, despite that unemployment still very high because all that's still going on, it does not mean that it's directly related to a COVID cure along the way. And remember, these news people, they're just trying to sell headlines, and they are trying to correlate what happened today, where the stocks actually went up this day, to something that is happening in the news. It's very often it does not correlate, or causation is in effect. It might be a correlation. Yes, today there might have been a small one-off headline where they did some research and this vaccine did move past to another scale of testing. But that doesn't mean that that was the reason why the stock market went up 400 points that day. But news does this all the time, and I just wanted to point it out, because as sophisticated investors, you guys need to figure, watching the news is one thing, being informed, but being able to pick apart kind of nonsense like this article on August 24th is important. And for those of you guys checking this out on the YouTube channel, I have 5 wealthy billionaires and what their biggest purchases were this past month and what they were selling. Warren Buffett picked up gold and he's selling JP Morgan Chase. George Soros, he bought T-Mobile, and the biggest sell was Peloton Interactive, the Viking people. Carl Icahn, he got LNG, and he sold HP. David Tepper bought T-Mobile, another T-Mobile again. His biggest sell was Amazon.com. John Paulson, biggest purchase was Bausch Health Companies, BHC. And he sold Viacom. Now, the teaching point here is, just because a big whale is doing something doesn't mean that you should be doing it. These guys are wealthy billionaires. It's very different from what a 100 millionaire family office should be doing, a $10 million net worth guy, a $1 million net worth guy, and possibly what you are doing at home. There's always things that are kind of going on in the background, and people put a lot of emphasis on things like this, and I don't really pay much attention to it. I mean, it's interesting to see some correlations, but I don't trade stocks, so that's just me. But people talk a lot about, oh, what Warren Buffett, what, you know, some they've just pulled some random quote from Warren Buffett, but I think it's always pulled out of context. I mean, you can pull his whole book of quotes, just like the Bible, from Warren Buffett's bag of quotes, and you can have it mean anything. What Warren Buffett does essentially is buys companies with good management. Last time I checked, a lot of us don't have enough money to do that.
Been investing with AHP since 2017 to buy distressed mortgages at discounts to offer struggling families sustainable solutions to stay in their homes. When homes were vacant, AHP recognized that lenders frequently struggled as they tried to limit their losses. That's why owner George Newberry founded Pre-REO, a platform that gets these vacant properties into the hands of local investors like us during the foreclosure process, which mitigates losses to lenders and accelerates returns for investors. A win-win. I'm very excited about this platform that connects local investors with court-appointed receivers in their area to cost-effectively repair, lease, and maintain and rent vacant homes during the foreclosure process and ultimately make a profit. I've been checking out local properties here in Hawaii, and I think it's a great way to finally pick up my home to live in, even though I think homes to buy aren't probably the best. You can learn more about Pre-REO by going to simplepassivecashflow.com/pre-REO.
All right, so now we get into the news. On the middle of the August, S&P rose to touch record levels yet again. So if you haven't heard, it dropped 30% in the start of COVID, and now it's been retracing back up, and we are right back up to all-time highs now. which is great for you guys. Hopefully you stayed in it. You got out. Well, sorry, but hopefully you went into some sustainable asset like real estate that you actually understand, because this makes no sense to me, right? Unemployment is at a spike because of all that's going on with the pandemic that's still lingering. This next article came out very recently. Renters in the United States cannot be evicted through the end of the year due to coronavirus. CDC orders states. So I'm going to read some of the highlights here. So this is used as best efforts to obtain all available government assistance for rent and housing. The individual cannot expect to earn more than $99,000 in the annual calendar year for 2020, or more than $198,000 if joining a tax return as a couple. So basically, it's trying to exclude wealthy people. They're trying to help out the people who need it the most. They're saying the individual is unable to pay the full rent or make a full housing payment due to substantial loss of household income, loss of compensation hours or of work or wages, a layoff, or extraordinary out-of-pocket medical costs. I believe that they're going to make the person who's kind of using this to get out a free jail card, they're going to have to sign something or certify that this was them. They're still recommending individual using best efforts to make timely partial payments. Who knows how that's going to be enforced? And then this is supposed to be to protect those who would be evicted and would render the individual homeless, or force the individual to move in and live in close quarters in a new shared living situation because the individual has no other options. It does not apply to evictions for things other than non-payment of rent, and it does not prevent charging late fees. Big news. There was one little loophole that I saw in here. Landlords will still be permitted to evict tenants in certain cases, such as instances which the tenant has destroyed property or poses a threat to health or safety of neighbors. So all you guys out there, you should be having your own property management on the front lines, because most of us here are investors. We try not to be landlords. Of course, talk to your own legal counsel, but that might be an opportunity to still get out people out who are posing a threat to health and safety of neighbors. But yeah, tough times, right? It's unfortunate some people are really taking advantage of the system, and they have the means to pay, and they just don't pay it, and they're kind of gaming it. I have a little map here on absentee voting regulations. So just check out what states you're in. Some places have moved entirely to absentee mail voting. Some haven't. Check out your state, but yeah, get out there and vote. So I pulled this from the Yardie Matrix National Multifamily Report. It kind of shows how rents have been tracking through this COVID era we are living in. On the left is the year-to-year rent growth for all asset classes. So that's if you clone everything up in one. On the national scale, has gone down 0.3%. So pretty much staying right where it is. The middle row is the lifestyle asset class. This is more of your class A, higher end type of rentals. And then on the right side is more where we try and stay in, which is the renter by necessity asset class, which makes sense, renter by necessity. The national average there is it's still going up by 1.2%. Phoenix, Inland Empire, Atlanta, Indianapolis, Sacramento are in the top five. Those are well above 3% rent increases per year still. The big losers all the way at the bottom are Los Angeles, San Francisco, and San Jose for the renter by necessity asset class. Of course, you might have Dallas that's on here. It's still a little bit better than 2% rent growth a year, but it's important to note that Dallas is a big MSA. You really should be looking at your more submarket data, and more importantly than your submarket, which could be 20 or 30 miles wide. You really should be looking at where you are in the actual block. John Burns Consulting releases a nice map on market opportunities that they see. Sacramento and Inland Empire, a little bit more, are on the California state. for California, probably due to people running away from San Jose and the Bay Area to a little bit cheaper places in Sacramento and moving away from Los Angeles, the Inland Empire. Phoenix, Arizona is on here. Austin, Dallas, Houston are on here. And in the Southeast, we have Nashville, Atlanta, and Tampa making the list. MultiHousingNews.com reports that how multifamily's defense nature holds investor interest. So you look at the big landscape of all the real estate-ish type of things to invest in. You've got all sorts of things like office space, retail, you have workforce housing, you have luxury housing, you have all sorts of student housing, assisted living. The big losers are by far the retail strip malls and malls and office space and a little bit of assisted living. But I think the darling out of the real estate world and possibly out of all asset classes are multifamily real estate. I don't know, maybe I'm just kind of lucky, but I count my lucky stars that that's what I happen to invest in. And I quote here, the sector's resiliency is also illustrated by prolonged outperformance and durability since the onset of the virus. In majority of markets, rent collections are robust and occupancies are stable. And I think what you might see is everyone's going to start to see how stable multifamily is. And maybe in the next 6 months to a year, people will start to move away from those other more non-pandemic proof asset classes and find a safe haven in multifamily. The Business Now reports that New York City apartment rents are dropping as residents leave in droves. And this is also happening in the Bay Area. And we showed last month in the last investor letter, New York extends eviction moratorium. We started at the top with the national eviction rules. Each state has their own individual ones. So I suggest kind of checking out how it is where your rentals are. But they might have different kind of moratoriums too. Some may not have, but they may have the courts closed, which is sort of essentially the same thing where and they're just not processing that type of work at the time. Another example of people running away from San Francisco, Pinterest, the tech giant. If you guys don't know what Pinterest is, it's kind of like a social media channel where it's just a bunch of pictures. Actually kind of useful if you're trying to find some good ideas on how to make your closet or arts and crafts or home improvement type of projects. Well, Pinterest walked away from their lease, which is a big deal because they have to pay a $90 million cancellation fee. But they're like, we don't care. We're out of here. Pinterest is actively recruiting across a range of roles where they're evaluating their strategy to be a more distributed workforce across geographic locations. And I think this is also happening in a lot of other tech companies too. Multi-housing news reports that Class A vacancies rise and rents fall amid crisis. This goes along to what's been expected. Your very, very high-end Class A suffers in these type of situations. I would say that when I think what they're talking about in this article is your A-plus class, your luxury type of properties. Like if you guys just Google Amli, AMLI, they had very high-end apartments. And these are the ones that get killed first as people kind of go to more value-based type of living conditions in any event of uncertainty. Quote here, Class B and C vacancy rates also grew, but at a much slower pace. And you can see a little chart courtesy of Marcus and Milichab, a broker. Real estate broker, how the vacancies have kind of tracked for Class C, B, and A in relation to each other. There is some more stimulus coming out for all that's going on. HUD reveals almost $500 million for coronavirus relief. I put this out to the Facebook group. I don't really understand what is this exactly money going to. You always see these headlines, but trying to figure out what exactly the money is going to and trying to position yourself in such a way to capture this is always difficult because there's also a lag in terms of timing too. They might sign something into law, but as I've mentioned, I used to work on construction projects that took stimulus money And it took like 5 or 6 years before the shovel hit the ground. But I believe this is going to Section 8 housing, whatever that form may be, to bolster reserves there or to expand the voucher program. I do not know. But money is coming out there. Multi-Housing News also reports that they interviewed the Amelie management, who will. Again, they Amelie runs very luxury high-end apartment complexes. I would call them operator of Class A. And I had some good insights in this article. So they said economic forecasts released earlier in the year have had to be erased and completely withdrawn. And they asked them, what's your outlook for the multifamily for the next 2 years? They said, well, it's roughly flat this year with an uptick next year and a nice bounce in 2022 as supply likely lessens. And I've been talking to a lot of investors in my club this past month and just kind of getting a poll out there, a formal poll. And it just seems like those who are, the term comes up a lot of just hunkering down financially or trying to build up some capital or just trying to see what happens to the election or whatever. Those are typically the low net worth guys. And maybe that's causation or correlation. Maybe I should write an article on that. But a lot of sophisticated credit investors, they have cash reserves and they are investing in the right projects where they are going in with great debt options. I mean, now I'm seeing rates as low as like 2.7%, where a couple of weeks ago it was like 2.9%. It's amazing how low the rates are. RE Business Online reports that multifamily specialists remain optimistic, predict return to normalcy in 2021. So a lot of these industry news sources are sort of predicting a flat rest of the year with a strong 2021 and a very strong 2022. The way I am playing it is I am just kind of going into deals that cash flow and taking advantage of the low interest rates. I'm pretty optimistic that there will be some kind of pent-up demand in terms of maybe a year from now. People want to get out, they want to travel, they want to buy things. And unfortunately, a lot of people who are on the C-class renter side and below might be, I think they're slipping behind even further for unfortunately through all of this. But I think a lot of people have good jobs. They're able to remotely work. I think the country's going to get back and going. Sam Zell, who is another guy. So I follow the Amelie a lot because they are kind of a leading indicator for the apartment space because they I call them a canary in the coal mine because they do that Class A rental properties. I follow them and I also follow the Sam Zell character. You can Google him, but he sort of like a Warren Buffett. But I would say he's probably better to follow than Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett kind of buys whatever these days, where Sam Zell's usually investing off some kind of macro trend. So here he's saying that real estate, like malls and strip malls, is a falling knife that hasn't hit a bottom yet. Pandemic has accelerated the amount of online retail, and I don't think it's ever going to change, he added. And there has been dozens of retail bankruptcies and thousands of store closures announced by retailers this year. Well, Sam Zell is recognizing the issue, but he is not jumping into that space. And another thing I watch is like if you set up a Google alert for Blackstone, yeah, that company, they go in like sharks every time. The last time this recession happened, they're buying these single family homes by the truckload. Here's more data on the dying mid-range mall, which is in the retail space. So mid-range, you want to think of it like a Macy's, a JCPenney's, Forever 21. These are not your high-end stores. More recently, Brooks Brothers, GNC, Pier 1. I think what you're going to see is like more of the high-end type of stores survive. But yeah, these mid-range type of operators die out. Simon adds bankrupt retail brands to shopping cart. So the mall owner, Simon Malls, has acquired the jeans brand and closing in on a deal from Brooks Brothers. So it is kind of cool, right? Like a mall is going in and buying these distressed assets, just like how we buy apartments. And I think this is kind of a cool way Yeah, maybe it's a falling knife, but for sure these stores are undervalued. I don't know if they can go even lower, but I think it's nice to see these big companies take a stand and invest capital where there's blood in the streets. And if this works, this is how they make a lot of money. Commercial Property Executive reports that Amazon unveils a six-city, $1.4 billion office expansion. So again, like, office is getting killed. I see some office deals out there, and I'm like, geez, oh, it's a hard thing to sell right now. It's like selling ice in the middle of winter. So Amazon is going in and actually buying office space in Manhattan, Dallas, Detroit, Denver, Phoenix, and San Diego, which this is a well-capitalized company, and it's super smart what they're doing. They're buying stuff while it's cheap. And some of them, again, Manhattan, Dallas, Detroit, Denver, Phoenix, San Diego is where they're buying it. And we're kind of hitting the halfway point. If you guys haven't gotten the K1 tracker form, you guys can shoot me an email at lane@simplepassivecashflow.com. I can shoot it over to you guys. If you guys are in the HUI Deal Pipeline Club, you can join our club at simplepassivecashflow.com/club to get access to this. But I made this little tracker form because I got a lot of K1s coming back, and I just got to make sure that my CPA kind of captures all these dozens and dozens of K1s so I don't lose out on my sweet deductions. So I put all my K1s, all the deductions, and then if you're GP, LP, or whatever it is on there, so that I kind of know in my head where to double check my CPA if they captured all these deductions. And I think they like it because I put the link in there where I put all the K1s on my Google Drive. So in this way, it's a great way for you to keep track of what you have going on too. You also get additional cost save study articles and sample K1s to take a look at if you haven't been in a syndication deal before. But yeah, that's my K1 tracker form sheet. But I'm going to wrap up here with my little personal updates, what things I've been doing this past month to get a little enrichment in my life. So the first one is growth here. So I've been stuck at home here in Hawaii. They just started another 2-week stay-at-home order. I started improv class. Every Monday we do this for a few hours. So why am I doing this? I mean, if you guys haven't done improv, it's super fun. I mean, when you first do it, it's very nerve-wracking for sure. And but I think it's, I wish everybody did it. One thing that a lesson learned is like this concept of yes and. It's, you know, those people at work who are so difficult and they're always like Dr. No, like you always talk to them and it's always like, well, or but blah 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 blah, no, or you know, they're just, I don't know, nobody likes to hang out with these people. And you start to get really conscious of this when you do improv, because in improv you have to accept everything. You have to yes and. If somebody is doing something in like a skit or in the improv, like rowing a boat, you have to just go with it. It's just yes and. So I think if more people did that, I think we'd have less headaches and less people problems. So, but the first reason I did this is just getting a little play. I think as adults, we don't play at all. We just mostly work all day long and have to consciously put play into our schedule. Secondly, listening skills with improv. I think most new people, when they do improv, they're always thinking what kind of clever stuff they're going to say, which is totally not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to listen and then just react. You can't react unless you're listening. Maybe that is like talking to your spouse. Like, if you don't listen, you're just trying to, you know, think of what you're going to say to cover your butt, right? Well, you're supposed to listen, lesson learned, improv. And then the last lesson learned in improv is when you set somebody up, you give them a gift, right? That's to set them up. And then the next person's supposed to support and accept it no matter how stupid it is, or however like a dead end type of topic it is. So I got a couple months more of this, but it's been pretty fun. I urge you guys to do it. I'm always trying to learn more stuff, which is why I went on this virtual sake tour to Hiroshima, and there was like 150 people on this tour yesterday. But that was kind of fun that I did. Oh, how did I give a little contribution in the world? Well, I kicked off the remote investor incubator. And this is for the newer guys trying to pick up their first remote rental property. I kind of broke this group off of the mastermind, which is mostly accredited investors. you guys can learn more about that in Credit Investor Passive Group at simplepassivecashflow.com/journey. But this remote investor incubator is simplepassivecashflow.com/incubator, where we think we have like about 15 people in here, but it's really cool that a lot of these guys are new, they're really energetic, really motivated to buy their first rental property. And for me, when I started this journey back in 2009 and I bought my first property, it really changed my life. And buying that first property was really how this all kind of came about. Allowed me to quit my job, getting a little significance in my life. I'm just thankful that I have my job, that my job doesn't get impacted by COVID. A lot of people out there realize that, like dentists, they weren't able to work. We had a lot of dentist clients here, and that's just unfortunate. Like, who'd have thought that you can't see patients for something as simple as cleaning teeth? A lot of industries out there in the tourist world, we had some like tech programmers making kind of leisure and tour apps just totally to get laid off. Totally unfair. I think the lesson learned is you always want to have different streams of income to counteract this and to diversify your income streams. But you know, just taking a time for gratitude and being thankful that we have what we have is a big thing. How did I get a little uncertainty in my life? Well, I did the improv class. It is kind of a pain. It's like a few hours every week and in the evening, and it takes time out of my week. But I do think it's important. So I scheduled it. Oh, something bad happened with my trade lines. Chase canceled all my cards. And it was all my wife's cards. So poor thing, she doesn't have any Chase cards anymore. I will find a way to make it up to her somehow. But yeah, Boo Chase Bank. They have really good systems to look for this type of stuff. But still got all the other ones. Barclays, Citi, Bank of America, U.S. Bank, all these other banks to choose from. So keeping the good times rolling with trade lines. Learn more at simplepassivecashflow.com/trade lines. And if you guys want to win the free e-course that I'm giving away this month, give me your lucky number 0 to 99, and we'll see if you're the winner this month. How do I get a little certainty in this month? Well, I paid off my student's loan. So I had a guest on my podcast, and it hasn't hit the air yet, but I asked my community for folks that they have worked with in the past. And this one gentleman came up who they used for their student loans. And I guess there's this world of consultants who consult people on all their student loan debt. I always knew there was some kind of game, but then I talked to this guy and I had him on the podcast to kind of tell some of the tactics. And I realized like, wow, there's a lot of stuff here. Everything from like student loan forgiveness programs to, all right, so maybe the solution is going and refinancing it into different loan options. So this guy, he'll walk you through all the options. He works as a consultant basis. So like he's not just getting like referral fees off of refinancing the loan, therefore pushing you into just that one option. And he also is able to kind of consult on like maybe you're a high paid doctor and you're kind of weighing the option between maybe do you want to go to work in an underserved area, get your student loan forgiveness, or would you rather make top line dollar somewhere else? Like he works with so many other people. He sees the matrix and he's able to consult. So I was going to get this guy. I selfishly, you know, I always have guests and I still have selfish needs where I want to get something addressed for me. And my wife had some student loans. She's been working as a teacher for 10 years. So I wanted to just pay him like $300 just to do all my paperwork for me. But then I come to find out, we only have like less than $2,000 of student loans. So I just paid that thing off. Maybe that'll get me out of the doghouse for getting all the Chase cards revoked. Last thing, love and connection. I've been missing a lot of people and I've been bored at home. So I've been playing around with a couple cooking with Lane videos. I don't think I'm the best cook, but I'm definitely the most efficient cook if you ever saw one. So check this out on the YouTube channel. And I made seared ahi here. I am halfway through. I made some kebabs with tomatoes, garlic, onion, mushrooms, and steak and bacon. I put them on a skewer. And then maybe this week and next week, I'll make it. I froze it, so I can make it whenever. So that's the beauty of this one. It's kind of one of those things you can just take out of the freezer. So I will do that next. So if you join the YouTube channel and you subscribe there, click the bell, you'll get notified when I launch that video. Some new podcasts and articles that came out. And for those of you guys who are attending, you guys can type in any questions you have at this point, but or if you have any questions on any of these topics, let me know. So we had the Mythics Markets guys, who it's a crowdfunding way of investing in all kinds of geeky stuff like magic cards, Spider-Man comics. It's sort of like that wine crowdfunding website that we did the previous month. George Newberry came on the podcast and we discussed pre-REO, which is a great way to find distressed inventory locally. I check it out like once a month and just see what's around in Hawaii. So pre-REO is before it goes to REO. So it is usually in, I think, judicial states, not judicial states, whatever one's harder. There's a lot more options for pre-REO in there before it goes through the court process. My buddy Kyle, he quit his day job, so we interviewed him on the podcast there. And then Russell Gray came on the podcast and we discussed the repo market and the dark world that all happens. And then we also had Dr. Kim coming on, who did volunteer to do an coaching call. She was an accredited investor, so great to open up the personal financial sheet and kind of see what she's doing. I know a lot of you guys are doctors out there making a big salary. Probably be good to take a listen to that. We can change your name, and if you want to do like a coaching call where we record it for the podcast so other people can benefit from it, let me know. Shoot me an email, Lane, and Simple Passive Cash Flow. I think it always helps out people. At the end of the day, it's kind of like, there's not too many different financial profiles I see. Maybe like a dozen of them. It's kind of like when I go to like Japan, I always see like the same faces over and over again. Everyone's got the same, there's, you know, like it was like the same, there's only like 20 or 30 faces. Like sometimes I see myself out there. I see my doppelganger out there. But yeah, in terms of financial profiles, I'm starting to see a lot of patterns out there. A lot of very similar patterns. Everybody thinks they're a special snowflake. You might be, but most likely you fall in one of these main categories. Check out the mastermind and the incubator. There are some details on it and some cool stuff that I bought this past month, which we call doodads, which I encourage you to put off until you have passive cash flow coming in to buy these stuff. Chuck Norris has some bottled water called Seaforce. I bought that. And hopefully it gets delivered and all the water is in there and doesn't break like some of my other Amazon stuff that comes in the mail. And for those of you guys who are on a lot of Zoom calls, there is an app called Crisp, which I'm actually using right now, and which is why you don't hear my very loud air conditioner in the background today. You guys can get the link to it at simplepassivecashflow.com/lanehack, along with other life-changing lane hacks out there. You can also use the app that goes on your phone too. So when you sign up for this thing, I think it's like 30 or 40 bucks a year. To me, it's well worth it. Actually, like my dog is barking and senses it in the background for the past 1 minute. And I don't know if you guys are hearing it right now, but it should block things like that. So it also gives you the phone app and you can make calls from the phone app. And a little bit of a lane hack here is like, you can do the dishes all you want. You can probably even be on the toilet, I'm guessing. I haven't tried this yet. And you can be on a phone call and it'll filter out everything that's not a human voice. It uses AI. So yeah, check that out at simplepassivecashflow.com/lanehack. Dean says he hears the bark. One bark. Yeah, there's several barks. You can hear all those. But yeah, here's the legal disclaimer and we'll see you guys next month.
This website offers very general information concerning real estate for investment purposes. Every investor situation is unique. Always seek the services of licensed third-party appraisers and inspectors to verify the value and condition of any property you intend to purchase. Use the services of professional title and escrow companies and licensed tax, investment, and or legal advisor before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, as in every investment there is risk. The content found here is just my opinion and things change, and I reserve the right to change my mind. Above all else, do your own analysis and think for yourself, because in the end, you are the only person who is going to look out for your best interests.
The proceeding is not tax, legal, or investment advice, nor an offer to sell securities or investment products. Always make informed decisions with professional guidance. Get educated and surround yourself with a community at thewealthelevator.com/club.